Good morning. Please turn to John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1:29. In this passage, John the Baptist is preaching and preparing the way for Jesus. And some people were sent by the Pharisees to come ask him if he was the Christ or Elijah, and why is he preaching like this? And his response is that he's not, but he's preparing the way for someone greater than him. And in verse 29, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I want to take some time this morning to look at that statement. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's a powerful statement, and I just want to look at some things that maybe we need to think about, and maybe some things that perhaps the people that that heard him say that then might have been thinking when he said made that statement. So what are some things that we should maybe consider when we read that statement? One passage that may come to mind when we hear that statement is the sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Let's turn to that real quick. Genesis chapter 22. And in starting in verse 1, it says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you.' Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' So the two of them walked on together." God commands Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. But we see in verse 8, that Abraham had faith that God would provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Sure enough, God provided the offering for himself, for Abraham, with the ram taking the place of Abraham's only son, Isaac. And with Jesus coming to earth, God again provided the ultimate sacrifice at a cost to himself. Instead of our sins resulting in the eternal punishment that we deserve, God provided for himself the perfect sacrificial lamb in his son, Jesus Christ. Animal sacrifice is another, is something else that maybe the people at that time would have likely thought of when hearing John make this statement. This is something that none of us today have any experience with at all. In fact, I would guess that most people in this room have never even killed an animal. These sacrifices meant something. It cost them something. Animals aren't cheap, and any animal that they had to sacrifice from their flock was one less animal that they could use for making money or providing food or other resources for their family. And for the people who didn't raise animals, they had to purchase an animal, they had to purchase an animal based on the money that they had. Not only did the sacrifice cost them personally, but they were also required to kill the animal themselves. Imagine having to lay your hand on that animal and kill it you to the sins that you committed. You know, it's not of any fault of that animal that that animal's dying. It's because of the sins that you had committed. And this animal's dying because of what you did. Then think about Jesus' statement. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the sacrifice. He is going to die because of the sins of those people who are listening and for our sins as well. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Something else that might have been considered is blood that is involved in taking away sins. On the Day of Atonement, we see in Leviticus 16 that the priest had to purify the temple and the altar with blood because of Israel's sins. With the sacrifices that were made for the sins of the people, the blood of the animal being sacrificed was spilled. As we see in Hebrews 9, verse 22, that without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The animal sacrifices weren't something that just happened occasionally. It was something that happened continually. However, in Hebrews 10, verse 4, it says that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Again, Jesus came to this earth to be the sacrifice for us. Think about the cost to God that his sacrifice was. We see in Philippians 2, starting in verse 6, that although Jesus existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God the thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Think about that. Think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Think about everything that he gave up to come to earth and die for us on the cross. When John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," think about what that might have meant to those people. Jesus is making the sacrifice once for all. It's not something that's going to have to be done repeatedly. You know, they have to make these sacrifices constantly, but this sacrifice is going to be once for all, never needed again. Another thought that may have come to mind to those listeners that day may have been the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verse 7. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. This is a statement about the suffering servant. And, you know, he was oppressed and afflicted, and like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the suffering servant who bore our iniquities so that we can stand justified one day in the sight of God. One final thought that that might have come to mind for those hearing and should come to mind for us as well, is Passover lamb. We see the instructions that God gave the Israelites in Exodus chapter 12. Each family was to take an unblemished lamb, kill it, sprinkle blood on the doorpost, and then eat that lamb while being ready to leave the land of Egypt. If they did this, God would pass over them and spare them from the final plague that God was bringing on Egypt, the death of the firstborn. They were then to remember this by observing a feast every year to remember God sparing them and freeing them from the bondage of Egypt, of the Egyptians. Just as the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians before becoming Christians, we were also in bondage to sin, as we can see in Romans 6:17. In 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul tells the Christians at Corinth to clean out the old leaven, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Jesus was our Passover lamb. He was unblemished, spotless, and sinless lamb, and through his blood we are redeemed from our bondage of sin. If we obey God and live our lives as we should before him, then he will also spare us from eternal punishment. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Think about how powerful that statement is. Animal sacrifice could never do what Jesus' sacrifice accomplished. Without his sacrifice, there would be nothing that we could do to escape eternal punishment. And as Jesus says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Think of the cost of that sacrifice. Think about God's love for us. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, our Passover lamb that redeemed us from the bondage of sin. And while we may not offer animal sacrifices anymore, that doesn't mean that we are excused from making sacrifices. We owe God everything. And in Romans 12:1, it says that we are to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. So let's dedicate ourselves to service to God in appreciation and reverence for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us.